At the signal, it will be 21, 13, and 0 seconds.
Roger Doyle, you're a charlatan. Defend yourself.
It's your big chance, to be honest.
Yeah, I am always honest. The fact that you have problems with electronic music, maybe you think deep down, 10 layers down, that you should be composing with electronic music.
I certainly do, one layer down.
At the signal, it will be 21, 13, and 10 seconds.
And I don't think he finds himself so much an artist because he is consciously striven to reach that. It's as if everything around him has moved away. And therefore he's in isolation, and that isolation is called an artist.
At the signal, it will be 21, 13, and 20 seconds.
Roger Doyle's music by picking up recordings of ordinary found sounds, you know, and they make music, and God, you suddenly realise, you know, that's great, that is music. And you hear things completely differently than you've ever heard before, and like women who are out in suburbia, you know, they just might hear something else, but they have to be told.
At the signal, it will be 21, 13, and 30 seconds.
What is a violin? A violin is a piece of wood shaped like a woman's body, in which you rub...
Lovely.
You rub a stick across it, which has tightened horse hairs on it. Horse hairs, which you rub across this string. I mean, my God. My God. What is a French horn?
French what?
It's a piece of bent brass, round and around and around again, which you blow into, you know, and it produces these tones.
At the signal, it will be 21, 13, and 40 seconds.
I am the wife of the composer. And people come up to me and they ask, what instrument do you play? And sometimes I say that I'm tone deaf. They think that I'm joking and trying to put them off and move on. And one lady took me seriously and she said, that must be terrible for your husband, that you don't understand his soul at all. And then I moved on and filled my drink up. And I decided then to have a different reply. So the next time I said, I played the second fiddle. And this person said, of course, to play the second fiddle can be as difficult as playing the first fiddle, I know.
It's a lovely old house.
It is really, yeah. Heavy traffic on this road too, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, is Roger above? Okay, we'll walk on
Roger! Up.
Thank you very much.
You get the message, Geraldine.
When did that come, Roger?
Only about five.
The composer in his garret. In his freezing cold garret in the wintertime. Excuse me, I'm finishing my fig roll here. Is that what you mean? Because, I suppose, I don't know, I'm caught a bit off guard here now. I think reminding me of these composers in their garrets. Here I am in my tower on Pigeon House Road, which is a kind of 1970s garret because our lifestyles, standard of living has gone up since the 17th and 18th century. Maybe there's some fantastic difference in lifestyles between, depends so much on what kind of music you're writing. I have chosen to write this kind of music which is unpopular. I know it's unpopular, and I'm not a fool. People say to me, why don't you write pop music? And I think I could write pop music. I was a drummer in a pop
group. Could I shift this thing?
Yes.
This conversation.
An artist is somebody who does this thing whilst it's
wife and family star. Is that true, Roger?
Yes.
What are you lining up now?
I'd like to line up here a simple sound which you would hear every day, well, any day that is that you walked out on the beach, and it is simply some effects of some footsteps in the beach, which I'm going to show later on how I've incorporated this into one of my compositions. So here are the footsteps, plain and simple.
Wild track effects of footsteps.
In the very far distance, you'll be able to hear birds and seagulls and things. But the footsteps start again now in a moment. Extract from composition, incorporating what you just heard a second ago. That is at least one thing we have in common, that we are both unmarketable, I suppose. We're both uncommercial. We're both sticking to our guns. We're both in a vacuum, even though we don't want to be, probably. So
yes, we want to be, and no, we don't want to be.
Why are we at each other's home?
Here we are in Talbot Street. It's this multiplicity of images, multiplicity of sounds here. The industrial age, if you like, that we're living in, which interests me, not single sound items, but how they are all combined one into the other. Hello.
I'm looking for a record by Roger Doyle. It's called Thalia. Of CBS. CBS Records.
Yes. I don't have it on hand at all, no. So I'd have to get it for you. Yeah.
It's a rather eccentric old house. I think eccentric is the word for it.
Well, it's got a tower left-hand corner of it, because next door to me here is what used to be the Coast Guard's house, which also has a tower in it. It was now a series of flats, I think. This is a cottage in the back garden of 70 Pigeon House Road, where punk rock group rehearse nearly every day.
Good Lord.
Brian.
Yes.
I have an RTE sound crew here. Mm-hmm. Doing a...
Have any of you heard any of Roger's stuff at all?
Tomorrow's not
again,
did
you? Yeah, I have, yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard just snatches of his album, yeah.
I'll be honest, be honest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you want an opinion on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah, I think it's amazing. Yeah, it's great dancing music, you know.
Can you imagine anything more different than a concert of your music and a concert of my music?
No.
Of course you don't know, but you've never been to a concert of my music.
I haven't actually, no, but I heard about something you did in the project, which I can't imagine being very close to over. Oh, the same thing, basically. We're obviously trying to say something, basically, but totally different approaches, I think.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm in it for fame and fortune.
That's right.
And what are you in it for?
I'm in it for spiritual growth.
Well, spiritual growth I get as well out of my bank account.
7%.
So yeah, 7% spiritual growth and annually tax deductible.
Is that before or after tax? What I'm doing now here is to lay track one on a 16-track tape recorder, which we have here in the studio. I'm making a telephone composition on tape using the sounds of international telephone systems all over the world. We have here channel one, and in the course of this program, we're going to drop in on the stages of this work and its various stages of completion, and at the end we're going to end up with 16 channels, possibly all going at the same time. I would like to say something serious now, which I was saying before the tape ran out before. That when I was
hitting the floor.
When I was 20, I was an artist with a small A.
That must have been nice.
Yes, it was nice, very nice.
I
became a composer without even realising it.
By the back door?
When I reached the age of 29 and three quarters, which I am now, it's so hard to be a composer. I don't know whether it's... No, it's not just this country. It became so hard to be a composer that you either dig your heels in or you go over to some other side and you write pop songs, which I'm capable of, I'm sure, because I was a drummer when I was 14 and so forth. So by the time you reach the age of 30, you are an artist with a capital A, because you have dug your heels in.
And to hell with the begrudges.
And to hell with the begrudges. That's how I feel.
Germany wasn't being pre-sold. What track is that going on, Jerry? Under the French and German.
The French and German. No.
In my innermost being, I feel threatened by it, and I hate Roger with a pure hatred.
Really?
Yes, I do, and I work on it every morning at 5:30.
But hate is a terrible strong word to use.
Yeah, I do. I hate him.
I mean, do you feel that what you're doing is, you know, you're a civil servant and you have a full-time paid job, and you feel because he's what you might regard as a free spirit, you feel threatened by somebody who is a free spirit?
No, that's completely irrelevant. Whether I paint my car blue, white or red, that's irrelevant. His composition, and that's the only thing that interests me,
his music, my music. They are fighting it out, they're slugging it out. He's whacking, he's breaking my jaw.
And they're in competition with each other. Your kind of music.
They are in complete competition. There's another sense in which they're not in competition, but there is a sense in which they are in competition. He has gone on record, defend it as you will, Roger, that instrumental music is dead. Electronic music, let us kiss the private and public parts of Ho Chi Minh, whatever it is. That is a load of codswallop.
It will be 15, 28... And
just on the French and German teletourist from London giving information in those two different languages, even to hear the two of them together gives you something greater than the sum of the parts, my opinion.
28 and 20 seconds.
I, of course, think my music is the most easiest and simple and innocent music, and why can't everyone understand it? Why do people find difficulties with it? Why do people think of these extraordinary athletic questions to ask me about the meanings and the hidden this, that and the other? I just can't get over that. And I'm not the first, I know I'm not the first composer or artist to say this at all. They can't see why people find things so difficult. And I must say I can't see why anybody finds it difficult.
What about this idea that I've had for a long time that Roger is not really a composer at all, but he's just a refuse cyclist? He recycles sounds. Like, I mean, to the layman, it appears as if he's really not composing at all. He's just gathering sounds and sticking them together in some accidental form, which appeals in some aesthetic fashion to himself and appeals to other lunatics. Sometimes it appeals to me very much.
Yeah.
I think to the Joe Soap, it appears like a lunatic composition by a lunatic person, and anybody who takes it seriously is equally a lunatic, you know. I don't know how Joe thinks about this, because he's used Roger's music as much as I have.
Well, my answer to that is that the composer today is doing absolutely nothing different to the composer of the last century. The composer of the last century didn't have the technical facilities which we have available to us today. I've said this 100 times before, but I'll say it once again. Mm-hmm. There is a good reason for everything that I do and other composers who would...
Let's not be shy.
There's a very good reason for everything, a very good intellectual reason why I should use tape recorders, why I should use sounds produced in an electronic music studio, why I should use the sounds of Talbot Street if I want to, or a bird, or a beach, or a dog barking, or the squeal of brakes. Technology has given me the facility to use this, and all a composer does is put sounds together to fulfill his own fantasy, to make sense out of the sounds. And all the composers of the last century...
Hello? Hello?
Geraldine? Hello, Geraldine? Brendan McCarthy here. Just don't hang up.
Hello?
Geraldine!
Brendan, yeah.
2:00
Now,
just a moment, give me that again, will you?
It's the contemplation of the tension between the necessity of doing something and the realization that what you are doing may be completely irrelevant. Now, that's the nearest I've ever got to a definition of art.
Could you repeat that again?
All right, I'll repeat it for the layman. Okay. It's an expression, that's what art is. It's an expression of realizing that it is necessary to do something and that it is quite irrelevant whether you do it or not.
Thank you.
fact, what you want is something that is not slottable inable.
Yeah.
Slotted in. For instance, this man's music is not slottable inable. It doesn't fit into any of our configurations of common sense or broadcasting or performance or anything else. It breaks all of the rules. And, of course, that's why occasionally you find people objecting to it, like I objected to it as lunacy, only appreciated by lunatics like myself. I think the main point behind this music is to break those categories, the straitjacket categories of 19th century classical music. You think that the music had not existed before or after Bach, the way we approach music like this. This expands us. Music in your art for years, but it would not change the standard of living of the people of this country, the working people of this country. Am I right?
You sound like Matt
Burns. Here, here.
Well, you know, that's not entirely unapropos, because I once suggested to you that to Roger, that is, that's you,
yes.
That you. You were claiming that you were completely unresponsible to society in your work.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a long time arguing about this, and I wonder, have you changed your view on this? Do you find yourself completely unresponsible for or to the society around you? In other words, do you still subscribe to a very ancient, not very ancient, but an invented idea of the artist as being above it all, away from it all, apart from it all, responsible only to himself and to his God-given talent, etc., etc.?
Hmm.
That is a hard one.
That is a hard one. I think I have modified my view slightly. I do. I find myself having been, even in my music, very full of jokes, very unserious, very student-y. In my approach to the music, and as I have got older, I have become more serious, and I think maybe I'm a little bit too serious at the moment.
You are all right. You're very unentertaining at this precise moment.
In that, there is very much. I think there's about 80% of the ancient belief in me that I am apart from everything with my God-given gift. About 2 years ago, I think it was 100% that. And now I think I have some kind of responsibility. But I don't know. No, I don't know what it is. No, I think you probably won't be able to use that.
I'm sure you should be working on symphonies and wind quintets.
I began by writing wind quintets
and
piano concertos and orchestral pieces.
Your first piano concerto was pitiable. I played it myself in the Wigmore Hall.
It was
a total flop. It fell forward on its chin.
I began by doing instrumental music.
Oh my God.
I very slowly changed to doing tape music.
You'd easy know they loved each other.
I have no desire to do instrumental music anymore. If you have some second layer desire to do tape music, well, go ahead and do it. But I hope it doesn't interfere with our friendly relationship with each other.
Mr. Doyle, I am
being perfectly honest.
You're a very intelligent man. You've been presented with an honest statement.
Mm-hmm.
You were asked for an honest
statement. Do I hate Frank Corcoran or his music?
That's not the question.
What's the question then?
You are presented with an honest statement. What is your honest reaction? Don't play to the mic.
I'm not playing to the mic. I never play to the mic. He hates me because he thinks my music is good. Is that it?
Partly.
Because he thinks he should be writing tape music.
No.
Well, I don't think I should be writing instrumental music. I am completely at home and at one with myself. I don't hate anyone. Well, listen, Frank, why can't I keep composing merrily away, and why can't you keep composing merrily away in our two different worlds? Why should we hate each other or feel antagonistic towards each other's music?
Wait, no, you've
threatened his mode of performance and composition.
Yeah.
By using tape.
By using tape and electronic sounds and everything, and not just that, but by dismissing...
And by dismissing instrumental music.
The mode of his...
And that's the only thing that I would call in question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How dare you dismiss the whole instrumental tradition?
I'll tell you how I dare, because...
And listen, don't trot out all this nonsense about 19th century boys and so on, and Mozart, who incidentally belonged to the 18th century, okay?
I'm not going to talk about Mozart for a moment.
No, I'm not being pedantic. Okay.
If I have a pet hate, it is Mozart.
Good, that's okay. Well, may the Lord be good to you. That's all my mother would say.
I'm only talking about the pitch relationships you have with instrumental music.
Contemporary music composers. And we have been ringing up newspaper offices and people around the world this morning. And we are working with a 16-track tape machine. And we are doing a mix down on various voices, for an impressionistic piece that we have commissioned for one of our radio programmes. It all sounds very random, I know, but I hope that it does make some sense to you. Yes? Well, we won't be identifying any voices. I think I should make that clear.
You're passionately in pitch relationships, and so do you. And wait for my next analysis of, for instance, Thalia and the pitch relationships therein.
Mm-hmm.
I could do a beautiful job on them.
Well, go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, Thalia is a composition which uses pitch, it uses noise, it uses sounds,
right.
It uses actresses,
yeah.
It uses flute and guitar, it uses brass bands.
Right.
So what's your point?
Can I interject
Please
here? Thalia seemed to me to be the perfect, and probably the only time I've ever thought that music was suitable for a film. And I don't know how it exists in its own right. I don't know that. But I do know that in terms of accompaniment and definition of images, it was perfect.
Mm.
Now, it's possible that, or how would you defend this suggestion, that your music is background music, not the I'll be crude as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's possibly the equivalent of Muzak in a pub, suitable for playing in an environment where something else is happening. Joe has used your music in films as well, and your music seems to be very appropriate to film. I've found it so, and you've found it, haven't you, Joe?
Yeah, but there's times when I've used Roger's music as the base for producing the pictures. It hasn't always been the pictures. I haven't always made a series of pictures and then looked to Roger for the music to go with it. It has worked the other way around as well.
Mm. Yeah, that's the only sense in which I've used Roger's music in film as well, because I've thought that this particular sound or this sequence of sounds were good enough or appropriate enough or evocative enough to in fact generate images appropriate to it.
So in fact it's not background music at all, it is in fact defining, it is in fact even choosing your visual images.
Well, it does have that strength, yeah.
47 and 47.
It's half a second out.
At the signal, it will be 10.
Half a second fast.
No, it's probably this clock here is probably wrong. It's probably slipped out.
Yes, yes.
And
so
10 seconds.
Man, she goes to 50.
At the signal, it will be.
Put her on channel 10.
48.
Channel 10.
And 20 seconds.
We'll go back how far, Roger?
Mm-hmm.
What's noticeable to me in working and the music that you that I've ended up using on soundtracks is that you worked in complete isolation from me.
That's
intellectually
true.
we don't
your mind apart.
We don't apparently have work on parallel grounds. Mm. But when I produce a sequence of pictures and I look for a sound to match it, for some uncanny reason, the two things seem to match together. Now, why that happens is quite inexplicable to me.
Can I tell a little story at this stage? When Bob asked me to use to compose music for his film Clough, it was just before I was going to Holland to compose a new composition. And when I got back from composing Thalia, I said to Bob, "Listen, Bob, I'm afraid I haven't had any time to work on your film soundtrack at all, but you might as well listen to Thalia, the composition I did there." And his reaction was, "Jesus Christ, this fits dead on with the film, you know?" Which was quite accidental.
Well, it wasn't accidental at all, of course. It wasn't accidental at all. I mean, I had told you exactly what to write, and you'd gone away to Holland, and you had written precisely what I wanted.
I had
given you exactly the ideas that I wanted to have conveyed in music, and you had gone away to Holland and composed them, and then pretended that they were a separate exercise. And as it happened, I used almost the entire score, absolutely as it was, with a few sound effects stuck in. Of course, he pretends that he went away to Holland, you know, composed
this
magnificent
thing. So you used his music. You used it shamefacedly. It was a servant of your art.
Let's pull back this way. Are you saying that in order to do anything so-called, inverted commas, quotation marks, creative, end quotation marks, you have to be slightly sick? Is that what you're saying? I think you're right.
I am, really. I really am, yeah. I think that art, small r, it's getting smaller all
you're
the time.
Small
But I think, its roots are mysterious, but it must come out of some kind of disturbance. In
terms of inadequacy, as they say.
I think so. Maybe you're articulating other people's inadequacy as well.
Yeah, I mean, the idea was to have the voices starting off at first, all this massive telephone voices gradually fading away to this spacey sound. In fact, it was your suggestion then to bring in this woman saying, the talking clock. I was going to leave in those spacey sounds by themselves and let it fade out. But at your suggestion, I brought in this talking clock thing, and I think it really added to it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it determined the shape of the piece a bit better, too, having it there.
In fact, what happened was that I was thinking in terms of a sculptor tearing out of a lump of stone an image. And I just thought that what your man here had produced precisely paralleled that process and it equated to it. I mean, it wasn't a matter of me shooting something and then finding this music called Thalia or whatever it was. In fact, you weren't even sure of the title of the piece,
that
he hadn't even named it. And certainly the record hadn't been produced. And finding that it equated absolutely precisely, just as Joe has said, to the sequence of ideas that I had thought should emerge from the film.
But it was, Bob, dress it up how
you will.
It
wasn't used, it was not used.
No, dress it up how you will, it was used.
Right.
It was background music. It did not generate images for you. You used it as background music for your own filmic images.
It defined the images.
That's a much more precise description.
Yeah.
It is not background, it is definition.
It did
like what, Joe?
Look, you look at any scene in a film and put a bit of Mozart to it, and put a bit of Roger Doyle to it. The exactly the same scene, exactly the same
or
shot.
Or Frank Corcoran.
Indeed.
And you just see the difference the sound makes to it.
Yeah, go on.
Should I know that?
Like what?
I mean, that's the whole point about film. Images are mindless. They are not rational. They are purely emotional. That's what they say they are. I don't understand that. Their meaning is defined by the sound behind them, and the sound is invariably music, and Mr. Roger Doyle or Mr. Frank Corcoran are the people who define the images.
Beautiful, Bob. That's not enough. And I cut across Joe.
Look, I'll give you an example. I'm looking at this bit of film today about... It's an old bit of film shot about the Civil War in Ireland, and it's about men that they take off their caps, and some of them kneel down, and they do it in a rhythm.
At the signal, bum, bum, it will be bum, 21. Right.
Now, I looked at the film and played a piece of music, which was Rogers.
At the signal, it will be 21, 15, and 20 seconds.
There is a gap being made between Big R and Man on
at
the street.
Signal,
that is
it will be
wide.
21.
That gap should be narrowed a little.
By whom, though? I am holding out my hand. I am holding out my hand and I'm saying hello to you. I have brought out my two records by sweat and blood.
Right.
I am holding out my hand to you. Here I am. Hello.
That is not holding out the hand, Roger.
No, it is. True,
no,
it is.
No.
Go on, Roger.
No, go on, Jerry. How do you hold out your hand?
Of course, the gap has to be widened. But
no, narrowed, I think.
The gap has to be narrowed. The gap has to be narrowed. But the man in the street has to come towards me as well as me coming towards him.
I'm saying what to you?
That's not the point I would make.
I am saying hello to him. All he has to do is say hello to me and shake my hand.
And not dismiss me. 16 and 0 seconds.
I'm going to move into much more accent on the performance, live performance. My stuff at the moment is grand for radios and records. It's grand for you to create your own environment whilst listening to it. But a live performance, it's very tricky. I've been using dancers and trying to get over the boredom of watching two loudspeakers for half an hour. So music theatre will be a new venture for me.
Well, is it a new venture or is it an acceptance of a form of defeat? In other words, an acceptance that there isn't really a public for the work that you've been doing.
Oh, no. There
isn't an audience for it. That it's a bit purposeless for you and that you've gone as far as you can.
No, my decisions are entirely artistic ones. I've come to the end of the road for the time being with tape music possibilities. They're about 95% artistic considerations. But I now want to move back to performance.
Hi, Jerry.
How's it going?
We're finished.
Finished completely, are you?
Finished completely.
4 minutes.
Come
here. Yeah.
Thank you.
It will be 10, 52, and 10 seconds.